Right, now, well, now we're going to go from very high up in the air to, in an aeroplane, to very high up in the air, just very high up in the air. Richard Turner is a BBC journalist, and he's been part of Extreme Everest. Hello, Richard.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Why were you up Everest?
I heard about a project called Extreme Everest, which was organised by some very clever doctors at University College in London, and they were looking for volunteers to walk up to Everest Base Camp, and so that they could do a wide scientific study on the effects of low oxygen or hypoxia on the human body.
What was it like, actually, at Everest Base Camp? Because we hear this trotted out, you know, it's Everest Base Camp, but what actually is Everest Base Camp, and what's it like there?
Everest Base Camp is very much like a very icy quarry. I mean, it's a very barren place, and there's not much up there, apart from lots of tents and climbers and doctors in this case.
So what sorts of conditions were you experiencing when you were there?
Well, the conditions were really about how we responded to the altitude and therefore that rarefied atmosphere that you get in altitude. The oxygen levels at that height are about half of what they are at sea level. In fact, we were studying ourselves and testing ourselves on the walk or the trek up there, and you know, you would watch your blood oxygen levels or your oxygen saturation in your blood fall down to levels which would be quite critical if you were at sea level. But by the time you get to by the time you've acclimatised, you can cope with those levels, and they were down to like sort of 60, you know, 65%, whereas normally at sea level you'd be on 98%.
How high is Everest Base Camp above sea level?
Everest Base Camp is 5,300 metres. It's on the edge of what people call the death zone up there. It sounds quite dramatic, but the issue is that above that height and up to the height of Everest, you are at the limits of human body's ability to cope with those low oxygen conditions, and in fact the summit of Everest coincidentally is actually the exact limit of human ability. It just so happens to be that, and there the oxygen is about a third of what it is down here.
How did you cope with walking around with oxygen levels that were so low when you were first there? Did you notice?
Yes, you do. You notice there are various things that you sort of start feeling. First of all, you know, the physical fatigue. You know, moving any form of exercise or movement or is actually suddenly becomes very hard. We have had time on the way up to acclimatise to those conditions, so your body does, you can function, but it's the little things that, you know, that any form of exercise, and little things like your wounds don't heal very well, or your nails get very brittle, and you're very tired, and you don't sleep well, and that's the other thing. When you sleep, and normally your oxygen levels fall because your body is saying, I don't need as much oxygen, you know, I am at rest. If that happens at altitude, where there is even less oxygen, you actually don't, you know, your body's not getting very much oxygen, so you don't sleep very well at all.
And what did the medical doctors find with the blood samples and things they took from you? Have they actually published the findings yet, or are they still ongoing with the workup on it?
Now, that data is still being analysed, and it's going to be some time before we get the full results. But, you know, they're interested in finding or applying the results of this to intensive care medicine and in other conditions where oxygen is an issue. So, for instance, basically what happened was they would go into, as intensive care doctors, as they were at UCL, they would see two patients come in with similar traumas into intensive care, and one would live and one would die. And today, you know, people haven't really been able to work out why. Being mountaineers for a hobby, as it were, and many of them realised that the conditions or the symptoms that the patients were experiencing were very similar to mountaineers at high altitude. You know, the low oxygen, swelling on the brain and the lungs. And they realised that if they could study people at high altitude, they may be able to find new treatments to help people who come in with very, very serious traumas, who are critically ill, and also patients who have a number of range of conditions like emphysema, like cystic fibrosis, and premature babies.
Richard, thank you for sharing your experience on Everest with us. No, just finding any regrets?
No, not at all. It was a fantastic experience, and it was great to be part of something which hopefully will benefit a lot of people.
Thank you, Richard. That was Richard Turner, who is a BBC journalist who joined Extreme Everest to try and find out how high altitude can also teach us how to care for people better in hospital.
I've just had a quick email from one of our listeners pointing something out that I feel I actually should have maybe pointed out just earlier when Chris was mentioning about going freediving in between his scuba dives. And that is one of the things you're told not to do when you learn to scuba dive, because it can increase your chances of getting the bends or nitrogen bubbles forming in your blood, in your system. So we actually don't recommend freediving in between your scuba dives. And Chris might have been a bit lucky not to have aggravate anything going on there. So just so you know. But now it's time to join Diana O'Carroll for this week's question of the week.